Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And we happen to have one in the studio live today. Mr. Dennis Prout is in, Certified Financial Planner from Prout Financial Design, Traverse City, Michigan. Welcome to New Retirement Radio. Welcome, Dennis Prout.
Thank you, Ron Jolly. On December 20th, five shopping days until Christmas, or if you're really counting, four, right?
What?
20,
oh,
21,
no.
22, 23, 24. Five if you count today.
I just, you know, keep it easy on people. Cash works fine.
Cash is best.
Don't. Cash is king.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Excellent. You know, I understand that. Now, do you, pursuing that a bit, would it be 20s, 50s, 100s? Any preference there?
You know, 100s, they don't take up as much space as 20s.
So. You know, you're so efficient, Ron.
I know, but it's nice to get an envelope that feels like puffy. You're like, ooh, there's money in here. There's money in here.
What was it? Soupy Sales used to be the comedian on Detroit television, and he used to tell us, the kids watched him. He said, now I want you to go into Mom and Dad's room and look for little pieces of paper with little presidents on them and send them to Uncle Soupy.
He used to say that on it. Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, talking about financial planning, that's what we're here about today. We have a lot to talk about. Given the information we're trying to share today, we're going to be talking about payments and the tyranny of those payments and what it may cause to you financially.
Monthly payments.
And Shay had noticed it. She said, you know, what is the deal with all these different technology payment requirements to pay for this, that, and the other thing? So payments in terms of costs that we tend to pick up, perhaps without thinking about it.
Well, sure. Like if you want to buy a car, they don't really tell you the cost of the whole car. They say, well, what can you afford monthly? They go with the monthly thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you want to do Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu or Spotify or Pandora. All these
words
wonderful,
that we never even knew five to 10 years ago.
You're paying $10, $12, $15 just a month. LifeLock, that's a monthly payment, you know. And I was trying to think in my head, like, what do you have to have? You know, what can you share?
So you're actually trying to think about it as well.
Yeah. So because you brought up, what are all the different types of investment vehicles out there for people to think about in 2019? And how could we talk about those? And I'm like, well, what if you took all those monthly payments and you decided, okay, instead of the $400 a month for the new car, I'm going to hold off on that. And I'm going to invest $400 a month into a mutual fund. And
hopefully not in the last week or two. No.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, well, even that.
Yes.
So even that, like, what if you commit to that dollar cost averaging?
Commit.
Right? Yeah. What if you commit to that payment and investing, like, instead of, and I know this is like such an old school conversation, buying investments over debt. But I think if you like play those numbers out, because then if you buy a new car, you're paying for more insurance, and then you're paying interest rates. You know, it's never just the monthly payment. But it is hard to get your head out of that, because everywhere you go where they can sell you something, they bring it down to the monthly payment.
Absolutely. And you said a key term, buying investments versus debt. Which ones are you buying? Mm-hmm. Because those monthly payments, in essence, are debt. And if they're charging you an interest rate, you know, it's insult to injury, if you will. Mm-hmm. Well, it's only 2% annualized, whatever the amount is. But once it gets into 6, 7, 8%, and if it's in a credit card as well, it's 18%, which is killer to long-term finance.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of a payment, I went back to just saying, okay, what if it's $400 a month that we're able to say, even if it's a portion of it? How, the way that I like to look at this is, if it's a if-and sort of thing, mm-hmm. if I decide to cut back a portion of it, what can it go to, or what do I really want it to go to? Well, I do know I need to add some money to my 401k, or we need the coverage in our retirement. We need to get rid of that debt so that we can enjoy our retirement more easily, so that we don't have that continuing debt, if you will. It is an ongoing payment, and ongoing payments are not necessarily bad, mm-mm. depending on what they're going to, but what is it doing for you? As you mentioned, thinking perhaps a bit more strategically about that. Frankly, our own children, they kind of laugh at me and say, Dad, why don't you just get onto Google Music or whatever, and you can stream all that. It's $12 a month. And what am I thinking about? Of course, geez, do I really want to pay $12 a month for that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I can kind of cheat and go by the wayside and check out this thing and that thing, and I don't have to pay for it every month. Well, maybe that's where you are. But thinking seriously about, or maybe more consciously.
It's more consciously. I think that, yeah, you go, well, what's $10 a month or $12? Well, how many, I can say that, you know, I get like 7 offers a week on just spending $10 a month.
It's crazy. So thinking about that before we take on that responsibility. And again, if it's a cable bill, we can dump it, but a cable bill, what's that, $60, $75, $85 a month? Cars, what's an average car payment? Is there such a thing now? If it's
seems
a,
like $300 to $400 seems about right.
A hot one, it might be $800 maybe for a Beamer, but say average $400 a month. Mm-hmm. Netflix, 12, you mentioned Prime, 15, Spotify, 20, LifeLock, 20, who knows? Mm-hmm. Anyway, $500 a month. So I went back to $400 a month and just kind of wrote down some numbers. So $400 a month times 12 months a year, obviously. $4,800. If you continue making that payment for 5 years, it's $24,000, just the dollar sum. And if you make that payment over a 30-year period, it's $144,000, $144,000. Now, if you invested that amount,
yes,
and this is where
be?
I feel like Dick Van Dyke, you know, on Mary Poppins, 30 years at 6%. Now, that's not a stretch, investing over a 30-year period. As long as you ride out the ups and the downs, that's called dollar cost averaging. And you may experience, you will have the chance of a possible loss given the recent market gyrations, just to reference that. But 30 years, $400 a month at 6% compounded, which is very conservative, again, over a 30-year period, is $401,000. I thought that was interesting. $401,000. 401. Ah. 30 years. Well, I don't have 30 years. I mean, really, who's got 30 years? I don't know. Do you have 20? 20 years we could look at as well. At 7%, that same 401,000, $401,000. Mm-hmm. Grows to $487,000 wow. at 9%. Now, this one's almost hard to believe. So, 401 is at 6%, same 30 years. 7% is 487. Any guesses what 9% would be?
Has that happened before?
Oh, yeah, over a 30-year period?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, oh, yes.
Okay.
That is not
$637,000.
Great guess. $732,000.
I was going to say $732,000. That's what I was going to say.
That was it. Yeah, I take my answer back.
By the way, the average payment for a car, average car payment, monthly payment.
What is it?
$523.
See, we were being conservative. What is that again?
$523.
He's going to do the math.
$523.
We have a caller. We will get to you. 1 second. We're
all right. Let's just take that self same 6% annualized again. 523, you said?
Yes, sir.
30 years.
30 years of saving just the car payment?
Just a car payment.
$525,000 in your account.
Yes.
At what rate?
6%.
6%.
I went more conservatively, or more conservative, rather.
Hmm. I mean, honestly, that's pretty convincing.
I've said this before. Say it again. What the heck? I've been in this business for 35 years. Compounding surprises me almost every time. I was equally as surprised as you, Ron Jolly.
So
it's crazy.
They should teach that to kids in high school.
Oh, yes.
Both sides. When
all of us, you know,
your
remind
first car
yourself.
And you commit yourself to that debt versus saving and what can happen.
And using an HP 12C. I mean, really.
Calendar, your trusty
Hewlett Packard.
Or calculator.
Old 12C.
Adding machine.
Craziness. That's the value and power of compounding. Now, that doesn't mean the other side of it that we want to be misers and all that stuff. But thinking about, what are my alternatives?
But if you have a choice.
If and the choices, mm-hmm. What choices am I making consciously? So we have a phone call.
Yes, Mr. Herb is on the line. Hello, Herb.
Well, good morning. I just want to wish you guys a very Merry Christmas. You guys, I just love listening to you. But one of the things I was thought about was, you know, you talk about monthly payments, but you never talk about daily payments. And when you talk about daily payments, you're talking about a cup of coffee that you buy at Starbucks on a daily basis as to how much that could add up to. And mm-hmm. also, if you smoke cigarettes, how much that could add up to what you're going to have in your retirement fund. If you just eliminated those two things, or even just one of those things, you'd have over $300,000.
Herb, wow. A great point.
Mm-hmm.
And you are right on. So what you're saying is I should take up cigarettes and then drop them and then take that money and put it aside.
You won't live as long. You won't need as much money.
You won't need as much money.
No, but I'm talking about the cup of coffee you go down
yes.
and you buy it at
mm-hmm.
the local store.
Stuff that we don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you
right.
You don't think about those as daily much. Things that you buy on a regular basis that they could add up to big dollars if you start putting them into a 401k or some sort of investment account.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to mention that to you. It was just
point.
One of those things that it brought up to me many years ago.
Yes.
So
and
thanks, Herb. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas. And love listening to you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of which, thanks to my friend Joe who bought us coffee this morning. That was so nice of him at Morsels.
Thank you,
little
Joe.
Christmas gift. So part of investing and buying investments also means giving. So investing in the future of other people and the future of our land. And so
it
what would that look like?
Giving produces a variety of benefits. If I may say so for myself personally, it helps me keep those things in perspective mm-hmm. that matter a lot. And for whatever reason, it is humbling as well. For whatever reason it does, that perspective of having given, it makes me think of the gentleman from Ludington who gave in combination profit sharing, 401k, I believe, as well as bonuses to his employees, a total of $4 million.
Wow.
Not a small sum. And some would shoot arrows from that on the side and say, you know, that's a lot of money to give away. Okay. We don't know anything more about him.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you give and or you invest to the criticism of others. Think about that in terms of that. It's not just about having done that. Not everyone's going to understand. Not everyone's going to understand if you decide to take a bit of a different tack on that sort of thing.
His name is Lee Shaner, and his employees love him. And he said the way he started thinking about this was every year I give money to nonprofit causes. He said, I'm able to do that. Why? Because I have great employees that are helping me earn this money, so I need to pay them back for allowing us, he said, to give to the community.
Huge.
So,
to me, that's great perspective. That's balance as well. And we all need that. What a great example.
How about
Shea
some
stats?
Shea stats. Okay. 43% of the Fortune 500 companies in 2017 were founded or co-founded by either an immigrant to the United States or by the child of an immigrant. I think that's a pretty cool stat.
That pretty much cover everybody?
Yeah, I guess so. Pretty much.
That does.
Mm-hmm. 58 publicly held U.S. companies produced at least $1 billion of sales per week in 2017, up from 39 companies that accomplished that level of weekly sales in 2007. Just one domestic company generated more than $1 billion of sales per day during 2017. This is also fascinating. I think I've read this one before, but it keeps coming up. 46% of San Francisco Bay Area residents surveyed plan to move from California within the next few years, primarily due to the cost of housing and traffic. And every single week in Traverse City, I meet someone who just moved here from anywhere in the United States. I find that pretty fascinating.
It is.
Every week.
Safety, security, relatively conservative costs. Some might argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
But
beauty.
Still. Yeah.
Awesome nonprofits.
Mm-hmm. Good radio.
Places. Yeah, radio
wow,
is stellar.
Saying. I mean, seriously, what was I listening to this morning about the cherry? The cherry.
Cherry Queen.
Cherry Queen yes. situation. Meg Rosenberg, one of our own,
yeah.
has talked many times. Here's rabbit trail. Yeah, you bet. Anyway, about how much that's benefited her in life.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way that they conducted themselves, what they teach, what she learned, an appropriate mm-hmm. business interaction, on and on and on it went. What a great program that
she's
is.
She's a former National Cherry Queen, or
yes,
Queen candidate, or Queen?
Queen.
Queen.
Queen itself.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years ago. And it shows in terms of how she handles the public, and she's our primary person up front.
Mm-hmm.
She's coming back after having a second child.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. The total cost of the Social Security program in 2018, which was $1.003 trillion, is projected to exceed its total income, which was $1.001 trillion, resulting in the program's first deficit since 1982.
Incredible, huh? Social Security. What a huge program. And we have actually taught some classes here in this last few months about that, and we're surprised at the response. But taking a look at those numbers, that's an ongoing decision
mm-hmm.
for a lot of people. Yeah, most of the population as they near retirement, and we're going to be having some more classes in the winter.
Which, by the way, I don't have the dates right in front of me, I'm sorry. But if you want to register for those classes, you can do that right now, and they will fill up. And we're only doing one RMD class, requiring minimum distribution, and one maximizing Social Security class. You can call 995-1700 to register now.
Please do that. It most likely will fill up quite quickly. And
first week of February.
They'll tell you the dates on those. Mm-hmm. You've got some time to plan that date. But yeah, 995-1700, NMC's continuing ed department there.
I got one more Shea stat. There are 102 cities in China with a population of at least 1 million.
You had that one before.
I have, yeah.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating, yeah. The largest Chinese city being Shanghai, which has, guess how many?
14 million.
20.
22.
Jeez.
22 million. There are 10 cities in the USA with a population of at least 1 million, the largest city being New York City.
New York.
Yes, and there are, guess how many there?
8 million.
Where, New York?
Mm-hmm.
I thought we'd go through this like deja vu. It's a
metro
or the metro area or the city proper. I'd say 8 million metro.
9 million, you guys are so close.
Yeah.
So...
But interesting, 46% of the citizens of Shanghai are leaving to move to San Francisco to escape the traffic.
And the pollution.
Yeah, and the pollution.
You know,
yeah.
I would have seen you yesterday, but, you know, there was some pollution going on. So, yeah, I wouldn't even have seen it quite that way, but, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you've got some TD Ameritrade sent out a list of deadlines for the end of the year.
Required minimum distributions, and I'm happy to state that we have processed 100% of all RMDs for our clients. Deadline for Roth conversions is December 21st through TD Ameritrade to make certain that that's done. And we've actually had a few clients here doing this because of this year's historically low interest rates. Many are reviewing with their accountants and or with their own software to check where they're at to think about making those decisions. Qualified retirement plans must be established by December 31st of 18 if you're a business owner. And charitable gifting, think about this. Bunching, if you do give more this year, you may be able to bunch it and use it more effectively because for a couple, the standard deduction is now $24,000. So your giving as well as interest and deductible interest and those other sort of items that was traditionally available to be itemized, may not be this year because of the significant increase in the standard deduction. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
That's all
for
you
those.
Got.
By the way, and speaking live here on this Thursday at 5 before 11, the Dow Jones was at the beginning of the hour down 60 something. Then it was down 160. Then it was down 60. Now it's down 160 again. It's gone up and down 100 points in less than an hour.
Isn't that radical?
That's
so the volatility extreme these days in terms of the Dow Jones, you know, looking at the Dow Jones 30, and as a result mostly of rising interest rates, which we all knew and said was going to happen. It's happened differently this time. It's been more gradual, but more more consistent in terms of its decline. The 3 months ago, the Dow was just about 27,000. So down about 4,000 points or so in that period of time. A pretty good percentage in a period of 3 months. And mostly due to rising interest rates because of the cost internal to the economy. Now, also, of course, we have trouble in Washington, D.C. For those who watch any news at all, they see that it's uncertainty that drives the stock market. And what can we all do about it? Silence. Nothing really, except thinking about where, you might want to be allocated in the coming year, how you might take advantage of it in terms of lower prices for these same goods and services that are, in some respects, plain old ownership in stocks, conservative companies. It's surprising to me how low some of these companies are trading in terms of their historic prices. Great growth companies trading at a discount, probably not arrived at their full discount yet. We are watching this market. It appears to be in a bottoming trend, but who knows? Given other adverse information and so forth, the general proviso that we had heard and seen from our advisors was if the Feds continue raising interest rates and they raise it again at the end of the year, we could see a 10 to 20% decline. This was said to us 3 to 6 months ago. Honestly, hear me first, I did not think they were going to raise the rate yesterday. I thought they were going to pass on that one, but they didn't. And some would say that there was an ulterior motive from the Fed. I have no idea. The good side of it is that they'll have more flexibility in terms of adjustments in the future. Unfortunately, we have an auction in the stocks, and it's not favorable right now.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes.